Those of you that were here last week will know that we considered what it means to follow Jesus when it's hard to understand. There are times when Jesus spoke and his disciples just didn't get it. He would speak in parables. He would say things quite clearly at times, and still the disciples didn't understand. This morning, what I want us to do is to move from understanding to obedience. Because sometimes, even when we understand what it is that God's saying, and God tells us clearly what he wants us to do, we hesitate, or we choose to do our own thing. Obedience is something that's hard to do in most contexts, in most parts of our lives. I remember when I was back at school, I was one of the few kids who actually listened to teachers. I was one of the few kids who actually didn't disrupt in class. Now, I went to school in Tower Hamlets. I went to school in the East End of London, in an all-boys school. And rather than obey our teachers during things like chemistry lessons, the kids in the class would do things that they thought were interesting. Like, our chemistry class was on the fifth floor of the building, and they would do things like pour acid out of the window with a hope that they might hit someone walking by. Or they would sneak into the drawer where the teacher kept his magnesium and basically create little flares that would fly across the room. Sometimes it's very dangerous not to obey the rules, isn't it? I mean, if in a 30-mile-an-hour road, you decide that you're going to drive along at 100 miles an hour, that's probably a recipe for disaster. Not only do you put yourself at risk, but other road users are put at risk. There are rules, there are laws that we are meant to follow for very, very good reason. But sometimes it's hard to obey. Sometimes it's difficult. Even if you were driving here this morning, perhaps instead of sticking to 30 miles an hour on the road outside, you just crept a mile or two over the speed limit. You might have thought to yourself, oh, the road's empty ahead. It's okay. I'm not going to hurt anyone. When we think people aren't watching, God is still watching. He knows exactly what's in our hearts. He knows what motivates us. He knows what drives us. But today, I want to encourage us to go and obey when it's hard to surrender. When it's difficult to surrender to God's will in our lives, when it's difficult to do exactly what God wants us to do. Or maybe it's just me that has that problem. Have you ever had that moment when God has said to you, do something, and you've not done it? I'm sure we all have. Perhaps God has called you to forgive someone. Someone who's deeply hurt you at some stage of your life. Or perhaps God has encouraged you to give when you felt stretched. Perhaps God has said to you, step out in faith. But instead of stepping out in faith, you have a heart that's filled with fear. That you're apprehensive, that you're so gripped and rooted to the spot where you are, you don't feel like you're able to move. You see, it's one thing not to understand God. It's one thing to not understand what God is doing in our lives, but it's a completely different thing to actually say, I will surrender to God's will, even when it's hard. That's where obedience comes into it. When faith becomes action, when belief becomes trust, and when we actually get into motion, when we go where God tells us to go, when we do what God tells us to do. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. I would assume that as we're in church this morning, we would all say that we love God. But do we love him enough to actually do what he calls us to do? Obedience, it's not a punishment for us, friends. It's the evidence of love. When we obey God, it is showing that we love him. When we obey what Jesus calls us to do, it says, yes, I love you, Lord, more than I love myself. In many ways, obedience is a language of devotion. It's the mark of a heart that says, Lord, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, I choose to follow you. So first point, obedience begins with surrender. Let's look at the example of Abraham. And perhaps one of the most remarkable moments of obedience that's recorded in Scripture. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. If anyone ever had a reason to say, Lord, this doesn't make sense, it was Abraham. Isaac was the son of promise. Through Isaac, God had said that he would make Abraham's descendants as numerous as the stars. And yet now God asks for Isaac back. As a parent, I think I would struggle to go and get the knife, the rope, and everything that would be necessary to sacrifice my daughter. Or even my daughter's boyfriend. I would find it difficult to do that. But Abraham obeyed. Abraham just trusted God in every circumstance. Genesis 22, verse 3, it says, the next morning Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place that God had told him about. The beginning of verse 3, where it says, the next morning Abraham got up early. There's no debate here. There's no delay here. There's just obedience. I don't know about you, but I struggle to get up early in the morning. And I certainly wouldn't want to get up early if I was being obedient to sacrificing my child. Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19 gives us the reason why Abraham was willing to obey. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. Abraham's obedience, it flowed from trust. Trust that he had in God. Trust that God's character was good, even when the command that God gave was hard. Abraham knew God was good. Do we know that in our own lives, friends? Have we faced trial, difficulty, circumstance, and known the goodness of God in it and through it? Maybe there's something in your life that happened that you can look back on now and you can see how God's hand was leading you through. That though it felt at the time like you were in darkness, though it felt at the time that you wouldn't survive, as God has brought you out the other side, you can look back and rejoice at what God has done. In my own life, there have been many occasions where it's been difficult. Life has got in the way. But I can testify that God has always been faithful. Amen. Always. Preacher and author Andrew Murray, he once wrote this: God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. When we allow God to be the one that's in control, when we surrender ourselves to the Lord, obedience actually stops being a burden. It becomes an act of worship. It becomes a blessing. When we learn to trust in the living God, when we learn to trust the one who knows everything, we are secure. We're safe. But if we're honest, our humanity gets in the way, doesn't it? I don't want to do that. I have, my faith is not strong enough. I cannot. No, we can't. But in him, all things are possible. The first lesson for us this morning is that true obedience really starts not with our understanding, but with our surrender. That just as Abraham placed his full faith and trust in God, we need to do the same. Second point, obedience requires trust. Let's look at the example of Peter. If we fast forward to the New Testament and we look at Luke chapter 5, verses 4 to 6. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were full of fish, so full of fish they began to break. Peter's words here really captures the heart of costly obedience. "But if you say so." They've been out all night. And these are seasoned fishermen. These are people who know where to go to catch fish. And for them, it was a failed night. And he could have disputed more. He could have complained more. But he says, "If you say so." That's obedience. Maybe it was hard to surrender. Maybe in his mind, Peter was thinking, "No, there's no point." But his heart said yes to Jesus. And friends, our heart needs to say yes to Jesus. When he prompts us, when he whispers, when he screams and shouts at us, which he has to do at times because we switch off. We need to obey. We need to listen. We need to follow. And Peter's obedience didn't just result in a normal catch of fish. It was a great catch. It was a massive catch. So big the nets nearly broke. God can work miracles in our lives, friends. When circumstances are dark, when situations are dire, when we worry so much, God can bring miracles into our lives. But we need to trust him. We need to have faith in him. We need to believe that the one who is able is able. It all comes from a heart of trust. And you know, right after this miracle, Jesus says to Peter, "From now, you're going to be fishing for men. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." What a wonderful testimony. Peter's obedience opened the door for him to have a deeper purpose, a kingdom purpose. To be one who would go and proclaim the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that the only way of salvation is through him. A simple fisherman. Yet God used him. I'm sure there are different occupations, backgrounds represented in this room. Could God use you in the circumstance where you are? A sister shared earlier that she's just completed one of the qualifications that's necessary for her to do what she does. But if God said to you, "I want you to go somewhere else. I want you to do something different," would you be willing to do it? See, there are those times in our lives where we think we know exactly what it is that God wants us to do. And then circumstances might change. For many years, I worked up in the city of London and I was made redundant on a number of occasions. And I was convinced after the last redundancy that God wanted me to once again return to the city and do the same kind of thing that I'd done there for years. Instead, God led me into full-time ministry. Something that I'd always wanted to do, something that I thought would happen maybe 5 or 10 years further on, But at God's time, in his perfect timing, he said, no, that door has been shut. This is where you must walk now. And I'll be honest, at the time, I wasn't certain that I was hearing God's voice. In my mind, I was convinced that God's plan must follow the kind of plan that I think he's got for me. But friends, his plan was far better than any plan I could have ever had. But I had to be willing. I had to take that step of faith. And there are those times in our lives when we do have to step out in faith. Trust God. Make that step. For Peter, as I said, this obedience to the Lord, it opened a door to him having a deeper purpose. And if we're honest, many of us, we want the blessing of God, but we don't want the burden of obedience, do we? We want God to bless us in our circumstance, in our situation, and to bless us the way that we would like to be blessed. But we need to be obedient and follow God's will for our lives. His perfect will. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. And often we have to take that step of faith to actually be walking according to his purpose and his plan for us. Perhaps our miracle, perhaps your miracle today, is waiting on the other side of "if you say so." Perhaps your miracle is waiting on the other side of saying, "Yes, Lord, I trust you no matter what I see with my eyes." Charles Spurgeon once said this: "Obedience is the highest practical courage. It's easy to follow when the path is bright. It is faith's true test to follow in the dark." The Lord often calls us to obey before we know the result, before we know what the outcome is going to be. He calls us to be obedient because it's not about the outcome. It's all about the relationship that we have with our Lord and our Saviour. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes bad things happen because they are part of God's plan. In 2020, I got COVID. I nearly died 5 times. That was part of his plan. He kept me safe. And the result? First Sunday in November in 2025, I get to stand in this pulpit and speak to you about being obedient to God. God's timing is perfect. God's plan is perfect. We might struggle. We might face illness. We might face difficulty. But God is able to bring us through. Third point. Our obedience reveals who is Lord. Let's consider the example of Jesus here. At the heart of the Christian faith is obedience to Christ. The clue's kind of in the name Christian, isn't it? Philippians 2:8 says, "He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross." Jesus' obedience to Father's will wasn't partial. It wasn't conditional. Jesus' obedience was total. He even obeyed when his obedience meant going to the cross. Think of him there in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, "Lord, if this cup may pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Fully God, yet fully man. It's understandable that there was fear, trepidation, knowing the weight that he would carry, knowing that all of our sin, the sins of all who would believe in him, was going to be laid on him at the cross. Knowing the suffering, the indignation that he would face, we can understand why in his humanity he asked the Father, "Can this pass?" Yet in his divinity, in his perfection, He knew that it must take place so that you and I could be set free. His sacrifice has paid for our forgiveness. By his wounds we are healed. By his blood we are forgiven. Every time we come to the communion table, we remind ourselves of his body being broken for us and his blood being shed so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be restored. He was obedient. We need to follow his example. In Matthew 26, verse 39, there's his prayer at Gethsemane. He went on a little further and he bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Friends, this is perfect obedience. This is what perfect obedience looks like. And we may never be perfect in our obedience, but we need to submit to the will of the Father. Maybe that means that we'd face suffering. Maybe it means that we will face difficulty. And none of us, by our obedience, can bring salvation to the whole world the way that Jesus did. But by our obedience, we have opportunities to share the truth of who Jesus is with others. To speak words of life, to speak words of blessing, to speak words of encouragement. To call others to know Jesus as Lord for themselves. Romans 5:19 says, "Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous." Adam and Eve sinned, they fell, they disobeyed God. And because of that, each of us is born as sinners. It's part of our DNA, it's part of our heritage. Naturally, we are opposed to God. But in Christ, we're reconciled. In Christ, we are restored. In Christ, we come back to a relationship with Father God. All because of what he's done. But remember, when obedience is difficult, we shouldn't be trying to do it in our own strength. We must obey and allow his strength to enable us. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus to obey even unto death now empowers you and I to obey. The Holy Spirit enables us to say, "Not my will, but yours be done." Let's listen to the prompting of the Spirit. Let's listen to God's voice. Let's draw our strength from him when our strength seems to fail us. Let's be obedient to what he calls us to do. Fourth point is the gospel, the obedient saviour who brings us life. At the centre of all obedience in our lives must stand the cross. Jesus obeyed perfectly. In our natural sinful state, we fail completely. But Jesus always succeeds. He lived a life that we could never live. He died the death that we deserved. And now, by his grace, his obedience is credited to us who believe. We are considered righteous. We are called children of the living God because we trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Friends, there's no other name by which we can be saved. There's no other way that we could work, that we could strive, that we could try to make ourselves fit for heaven. We're saved in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11. "Therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honour and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Friends, that's the truth of the gospel. The Son obeyed the Father's will so that we, sinners, be reconciled to God. There's nothing in us that makes us worthy of his sacrifice. But he calls us to follow him. And in that obedience of following him, we have the free gift of salvation given to us. Not because we've earned it, because he's given it to us. Maybe the world finds it so difficult to believe in Jesus, because in many ways it's so easy for us, isn't it? We place our trust in him, we repent from the lives that we led, and he leads us and guides us and makes us fit for heaven. We don't work at it, we don't strive at it, we don't earn it. It's a gift. Maybe that's why the world doesn't get it. But thank God our eyes have been opened to the truth. Thank God that we know the one who has set us free from the burden of our sins. Thank God that we are assured of a place in heaven because of our trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Fifth point, the reward of obedience. Life and joy and freedom. Psalm 119 verse 2 says this: joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. Friends, I trust that you search for God with all your heart. That daily you spend time in his word, that you spend time in prayer, that you speak to him, that you commune with him, that he's not just something you wheel out for an hour or two on a Sunday morning, but that God is central to your life every day. Obedience, that's meant to bring us joy, joy in the Lord. Elsewhere it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not because it's easy, but because it aligns us with the will of God, with the will of the one who loves us, with his purpose, with his plan. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 10 to 13, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Friends, are you joyful this morning? Some of you, the joy is so deep inside you, it's not quite making it to your face.
Harsh.
But true. We should be the most joyful people on the planet. We've been set free from our sin.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. Let's live that, friends. Someone famous once said that, you know, you can explain to other people about Jesus just by the way that you live. That people can just look at you and they should see Christ in you. I'll be honest. I've been to many churches in many countries over a period of many years. And there are those people that I've met that just radiate God's love, radiate his mercy, and it's just the joy of being in the same room as them. But then I've also been with people who seem like their favourite hobby is sucking lemons. You know that sour face look that people get sometimes? I've also been to many churches where those are the people who are on the welcome team. And it's great when you turn up at the door of a church and you're greeted by something that... No, I didn't just crawl out from a rock. I'm actually here to preach. Life is difficult, friends. Life is difficult, but we must have joy. We must have joy. When we obey Jesus, it's not that we're losing our freedom. We discover what true freedom is. Galatians speaks about it's for freedom that Christ set us free. But sometimes we go back to that yoke of slavery. Sometimes we kind of tie ourselves up in laws and rituals and religion. But it's got to be about relationship. You know, sin promises freedom. Sin says, it's all right. But sin actually causes bondage in our lives. Sin stops us from being the people that God has called us to be. And we need to be the people that God has called us to be. Trusting him, faithful to him, loving him. And yes, obedience is costly. Even Jesus said that we must count the cost before following him. But following him leads to peace. Following him leads to assurance. Following him leads to eternal life. There's a famous preacher, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He gave his life in obedience to Christ during the Nazi regime of the Second World War. He wrote this: only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes. Only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes. Let's be honest, there's things in the Word of God that we wish weren't there. There's things that we read in the Word of God that at times are like a mirror, just shining our unrighteousness back at us. There are things that God has said that we must do, and we think, do I have to? Really? And again, we go back to the fact that we are not saved by our works. But if we love God, if we love Jesus, we should be willing to obey his will, his purpose, his commands, his precepts for our life. And yes, I know we're living in a new covenant, and I know that there are many things that we don't have to worry about anymore. You know, you can eat shellfish now if you want to. You can have a bacon sandwich when you get home for lunch. There's stuff that we have been set free from. But there's commandments that have never been revoked. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not lie. The Ten Commandments have never been revoked. And, okay, in my, physically, I've never killed anyone. But in my mind, oh, there's been a number of little deaths and large deaths. James, he talks about the taming of the tongue. The tongue can be sharper than a two-edged sword. We might not inflict physical pain on someone, but we can certainly damage them emotionally or mentally just by what we say. That's not showing the joy of the Lord, is it? We must believe, we must trust. Real faith and obedience can't be separated. They naturally go together. If we really believe that Jesus is our Lord and Saviour, we must be obedient to him. Let me give you a call to action. Go and obey when it's hard to surrender. Friends, following Jesus, it isn't always easy, but it is always worth it. When the Spirit prompts you to forgive, obey. When he tells you to let go of something, obey. When he calls you to step out in faith, obey. Every act of obedience is an act of love. Every act of obedience is saying to the Lord and saying to the world around you, I love my Heavenly Father. I love my Lord. I love my Saviour. Max Lucado, he said this: faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. It's the belief that God will do what is right. Have you ever met someone who seems to know everything about everything? I've had the privilege over the years of working with many accountants and lawyers who felt that they were wise in their own wisdom. I've worked with people who thought that perhaps God should be taking advice from them rather than the other way around. But God is superior to all of us. all of us. He's God after all. I don't want to believe in a little God that's manageable. I don't want to believe in a God of my creation. I want to believe in the God of all creation. Now the world, there are those in the world that will tell you that you are little gods, that you can aspire to be like God. We can't. God is God, and we are meant to worship him. Life would be so much easier for us, friends, if we just moved ourselves out of the way and let God be God. Over the years, I've heard people pray. One particular church that I think of, there was one gentleman who used to basically tell God what God should be doing. And he would go on and on for hours. And yes, prayer does change things. Yes, God, I'm convinced that God doesn't change his mind. That as we look at things from a human perspective, it seems that God's doing something different to what he intended. But God knows the end from the beginning, and God will do what God plans to do. But from our perspective, it's like, oh, yeah, I've changed his mind. No. I'm convinced that that prayer does more about changing our hearts and minds and aligning us with the will of God and be accepting of what he has ordained. We need to pray in faith. We need to trust. We need to believe. We need to follow what the Lord tells us. God will always do what is right, friends. Always. We need to be obedient. We need to trust that God's way is right. We need to trust that God's will is better than our best idea or plan. His will is perfect. We need to trust him. Perhaps today God is calling you to the greatest act of obedience. Perhaps God is calling you today to trust him. In the circumstance that you're in right now, whatever it is that's going on in your life, perhaps your greatest act of obedience today is to say, Lord, I will do what you say. Romans 10:9 says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Maybe that's a choice that you need to make this morning. I don't know everyone in this room. I don't know how many sermons you've sat through in this church. I don't know how long you've been coming here. But maybe you've never actually taken that step of faith before. Why not do it today? As Jesus calls you to follow him, why don't you take that step of faith and trust him as your Lord and Saviour? Friends, we may have been Christians for years, but we might have allowed sin back into our lives. Maybe there is something on television that we watch that we know really gives no glory to God. Maybe there's a song that we sing and it's like an earworm, and every time we hear it, those lyrics, they just come out of our mouths. But they're not songs that glorify God. Or maybe we've allowed our hearts to become hard. Maybe, again, we need to surrender ourselves to him. All of us, just as when we come to communion, we're called to examine ourselves before we take communion. I would suggest that we actually need to examine ourselves every day to ensure that we're walking according to God's will for our lives. Isaiah 1 verses 18 and 19 says this, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. The context here. For us, let's today be the day when we say, Lord, I obey you. If we already belong to Christ, let's take that step of faith towards a deeper obedience. Not reluctant following, but joyful, willing surrender to the God who cares for us. And where it says in this verse, if you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. That's more than just physical provision. It's about spiritual fullness. It's the soul that is able to feast on the goodness of God through obedience. So go. Obey when it's hard to surrender. Go and trust when you cannot see. Go and walk in the footsteps of the one who obeyed perfectly. Because when you do, you will find that obedience brings joy and peace. Discover his will for you and trust him in all that you do. Today, may we go forth strengthened. May we be people who allow our heart to be tender. May we be people who obey the voice of the Lord. And may our lives be a living testimony to everyone that we meet, that we trust our Lord and our Saviour. Friends, our time is gone. Vanessa's going to come back and lead us in our last song, which is I Give Myself Away. And that really is a challenge to us, that as we sing those words, may we sing them like a prayer. May we truly be willing to give ourselves to him. May he lead us and guide us. May you know his blessing. Amen.
Amen.